bird. That would be cool. Yeah, that would be cool. Done with that.
Good morning, family. It's a joy to be in worship with you this morning. And for Joe's joining us online, it's a blessing to have you join us this morning as well. My name is Milton. Family, can I have everyone rise up to their feet? We'll lift up our praises, our voices to our Lord and Savior this morning. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless and all in wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Lift up your praise. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're lying, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. All 'cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so unexplainable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, and through your Holy Spirit,
conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Declare that this morning, family. I believe, and I believe in you, and I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Give them glory this morning, come on. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today on this very cold day, mindful that even days like this you create for us. Lord, I lift up those people who don't have a warm house or a warm bed, who are struggling with this cold, that today their needs would be met. Lord, we confess our sinfulness to you today, for times where we fail to see the world as you see it, for times where pride has gotten in the way of our relationship with you. We ask for your forgiveness, your perfect forgiveness, Lord. Lord, I lift up our country to you today as we begin a new year and the days ahead that have uncertainty and days that are, we need your peace. More than ever, Lord, we need your peace upon our nation. Lord, for Pastor John, I lift him up today as he speaks your word, that you would give us open eyes and open ears, and our hearts, even more importantly, Lord, would be open to what is said. We want to see the world as you do, Lord. We want to love them as you have loved us. So today, Lord, I pray that you would give us something new, something fresh, that would help us to learn and to know how to live that out. We love you, Lord. We are so grateful for many things that you give us, things that we can never, ever earn and things that we don't deserve, but that you love us because we are your children. So we just say thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the week ahead as we have many things that we have to do, things, relationships we're in, things at work, that you would just help us, Lord, to be your children following your will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, before you sit down, turn to someone around you and say, 2017 is going to be a great year. And now you can sit down. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Jeff Kimmel. I serve as Executive Director here at Christ Church, and it is a privilege to welcome you today. Whether this is your first time or your umpteenth time, we're glad that you're here. Whether if you're worshiping with us online, I heard in between services we had over 100 people worship with us online today, which is amazing. Across the world, people are being touched by the worship that goes on here at Christ Church. And it also could be that it's 12 degrees outside and some people didn't want to face it. So those of you that came, thank you. We're glad that you're here. So as you came in today, you should have gotten a program. It looks like this. I would encourage you to please take some time and look at it. There are many things that are going on in the life of this church for you, for your neighbors, for your children, that can really help them in their faith. So I would encourage you, take a look at it, share it with people that you know. If you can, take a moment, fill out the connection card. That's great, because what it allows us to do is if you have a prayer request or if you have a praise, let us know so that we can pray for you. Again, in between services, a gentleman came up to me and told me he had gotten a job. He had been searching for over 6 months. And I said, man, we've been praying for you. Thank you for letting us know, because it gave us the privilege of knowing that our prayers resulted in helping him find a job. So let us know. It's important to us. The other thing I want to point out is we're in a new year, new semester, school is new and all this kind of stuff. We have several classes that we would like to encourage you. Alpha is a great one. Alpha is a class where you can learn what it means to be a Christian. Who is God? Where does he fit into my life? What am I supposed to do as a child of God? And so forth. It's a wonderful class if you're just trying to understand what faith means. If you've been in this church for a long time and you're searching for something that helps you understand where to fit in, we've created a thing called Next Steps. And Next Steps is an experience where you'll have dinner, you get to hear what Christ Church is about, how you fit in, maybe some things that you've had on your heart and your mind that would help this church meet the needs of our community. So Next Steps, to register for that so we know how much food to buy, either stop at the front desk or the welcome desk as you leave and look for Pam Charbonneau. Or finally, we also have a thing called Gimme Five. If this is your first Sunday and you really just want to know a little bit more, you will meet Kelly Danana. She is our new serve coordinator. If you're looking for a way to get involved, just a little bit more information about the church or to sign up for the next class, Kelly is another great opportunity. Finally?
Yes, finally.
Okay. So, many of you have bumper stickers on your cars for a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in over 20 years. Or, not saying who, I'm just saying, or for a hockey team that never makes it out of the first round of the playoffs. We support them because we like them. But you know what? Christ Church has one. And Christ Church has an impact in your life. So if you can, pick up one of these on the way out this week. You're going to get your car washed anyway, so it's a good time to put it on. It's a great way to just let people know that there is something out there. And it'll be amazing how many times that'll start a conversation. Pastor John, you take us.
Get them.
You can get it from the ushers.
as you're leaving or from the front desk.
Okay, very good.
And thank take you. As long as you need today.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, I did last hour, I can tell you that. Anyway, welcome everybody. So good to be with you on this brand new Sunday in the new year. We're glad to have the opportunity to come together. You know, I want to say first, thank you so much, Christ Church. You know, yesterday we held our by-district training day for the Arlington and Alexandria districts of the United Methodist Church. About 500 people packed this church out all day long yesterday. There were at least 100 of you who helped make that all possible, either in the setup for the event, whether you were out in the parking lot during the snow, or you were opening the doors and welcoming, or behind the coffee bar, or greeting, or taking things down and resetting up for today. It was an incredible event. There were some pictures behind me that are of that. Carrie Newhoff is a Canadian pastor, an incredible Christian communicator, a blog writer, an author, and he spoke here. It was fantastic. You know, what excites me about all of this is that we are a part, we, all of us, are a part of the revitalization of churches all across Northern Virginia that are shrinking. We are a part of what is helping to give them ideas, helping to give them hope, helping to point them toward a future, helping them to discover how it is that in the middle of a very diverse world that we are continuing to grow, we are reaching out, we are doing more and more than ever before, and it's all because we have a clear vision of what God has called us to do and who we are to be about. And I am excited about that. We are now the largest church in the Alexandria district within our denomination, and God just continues to do more and more and more. And I got to tell you, thank you, Jeff, for saying 2017 is going to be an excellent year, because it is going to be an amazing year. We're already running into this full bore, full steam ahead. Got a couple of things to tell you before I get in the message, and then I've got to get into it, and that is this. You know what? For those of you who have been around since the fall, you know about our Difference Maker campaign. Let me give you a couple of quick updates. What's going on with that here as we jump into 2017? In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be pulling together a team of people from the congregation who have a genuine interest in a special needs ministry, in defining the scope of that ministry, helping us to dream what God is actually calling us to do and how we can do it with excellence. And we're going to be taking care of that then. We're going to be looking for in a national search for a special needs, full-time special needs director. We hope that that person will be on our staff by June so that we can move this ministry forward as quickly as we can and as thoroughly as we can. Second thing, is our young adult ministry. You know, our goal is to reach at least 100 new young adults. Well, we're well on our way, believe it or not. Erica Deem, who was in our youth ministry, is now the staff leader of our new young adult ministry. We've already started some Bible studies. We formed a focus team for young couples. We are in the beginning stages of making some real cool young adult ministry happen. Some discipleship, some Bible study, some mentoring, some things like that. This group, right before Christmas, this real small group that was just kind of getting this thing together, met and put together care packages for our college students and sent them to our college kids before exams. And we sent these care packages to young military students who are scattered all over the world serving our country. And we've done that right here from Christ Church. There's a gob more I could tell you, but I just don't have time. You have to hang out next week, and I'll tell you some more about what's going on with Difference Maker. But I can guarantee you, 2017 is going to be a good year at Christ Church. I'm glad you're a part of it. I really am. Okay, enough of that. Let's get into the message, because this is It's a doozy. Okay. You'll want to pull out your Christchurch notes. They're there. You'll find three blanks. So I will ask you now to pull out something to write with. Pen, pencil, whatever it is, find something to write with. I just know that you're going to need to jot some things along the margins, as well as to fill in the blanks that are going to be asked for right there. You know, we are beginning a brand new series on called Tapestries of Faith, Christianity and Religions Around the World. We're going to be comparing and contrasting some things that people of other major world faiths believe, which I find to be really exciting, actually. It's good for my own study. I'm loving to share all of this information with you. But, you know, today I was going to jump right into our first one, which is Hinduism, and compare and contrast that with what it is that we believe. But I recognize that there are some questions out there that we've just got to get onto the table. And if I were to just jump into Hinduism without dealing with today's message, it would just not be good. So, what are we going to deal with today? We're going to be dealing with questions like, why are there so many religions in the world? And how should we treat and think about people of other faiths? And also, what about their salvation? What happens in all of that? We're going to deal with all of that as best we can today. And I just hope that you'll understand that this is what I've said many, many, many times. You know, Christ Church is a church for thinking people. You know, if you want to come in here and check your brain at the door, you're probably not going to last around here very long because you're going to be bored. Because what we do is I prepare messages that are deep, that challenge you to think about what it is that you believe and why you believe it. Because what I believe God's called me to do is to help you mold your faith, so that you can know what it is that you believe and where it is that you stand, even though it may not look exactly the way I do. And that's okay. There's enough diversity in this church that's all right. We come together and we hold on to the umbrella of Jesus Christ. And as we hold on to Him, there's enough room under that umbrella for us to be in several different places, as long as those things don't affect the way we understand and relate to Jesus Christ. So with all of that said, some of you are probably thinking, well, why in the world are we going to do this stuff anyway? You know, why do I need to be talking about Buddhism or Hinduism or Judaism or Islam? You know, why am I doing that? Well, I'll tell you, it's because we live in an ever increasingly diverse world. Isn't that right? Do you agree with me? Okay, I want to hear something. Yes? All right, good. All right, because we do. And here's the other thing. Now listen, you and I live in Northern Virginia, and Northern Virginia is a microcosm of all of that diversity. You know, your friends, you've got friends, you've got coworkers, you've got neighbors who believe differently than you do. You've got friends and coworkers and neighbors who are Buddhists and Jews and Muslims and others. You know, so what do you do with all of that? You know, how in the world do you even have conversation with them? And I've got to tell you, you know, when I grew up, it was a different world. You know, I grew up in Virginia Beach, and it was really pretty homogeneous down there. You know, I was thinking about it. I knew one Jewish girl, a handful of Catholics, and everybody else was Protestant. You know, Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Episcopalians, and that's who I knew. That was my world. That's all I know. And some of you are nodding your head. Yeah, you knew how it was, whether some of those ratios were a little bit different in your community. A lot of the people in your community were believers or Christians. Well, you know, my kids, well, I got to tell you, they grew up in Northern Virginia, and they've had a very different experience than I have had. You know, I'll never forget my daughter, first or second grade, I don't remember which, came home asking her what about her day, and she pulls out a dreidel. Do you know what a dreidel is? Okay, and pulled out a dreidel. It was December, so it was Hanukkah. Pulled out a dreidel. And I said, what is that thing? And she said, it's a dreidel. And then she goes on, dreidel, 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 we made you out of clay. And when you're dry and ready, oh, dreidel, we shall play. That she sang that to me. I had to look this thing up. I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen a dreidel before until my daughter brought it home in second grade. You know, and all of that's to say, we live in a very diverse world. And yet, even though there are lots of Christians and lots of Jews and lots of Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus, you know, even though we have all of these people around us, guess what? It is my impression, you may say that I'm wrong, but it's my impression that we know practically nothing about what they believe. Even though they're our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors, and we know practically nothing. And yet, we hear something about these people on the news nearly every day. You know, we hear on the news that Christians and Muslims are in conflict, or the border between India and Pakistan is probably, arguably anyway, the most contested border on this planet. And it wasn't but a few years ago that thing almost erupted into nuclear war as the Hindus and the Muslims faced off against each other. And then, there's no secret about what's going on in the Holy Land, right? You know, we've got Muslims and Jews wrestling with each other over land that both claim to be their own. And still, we know practically nothing about what these people believe. So, you know, what do we do with all of that? I think that's the big question. What in the world do we do with all of that? You know, how can we as Christians build bridges of understanding? How can we seek peace in the world? How can we love our neighbor as ourselves? And then appropriately, hear that, and positively, appropriately and positively share the gospel of Jesus. How do we do that? How do we even have conversation with these folks if we have no idea what they believe to be true? And having even said all of that, look, I get it. Some of you in this room, I know, are going to feel that this is a very uncomfortable conversation. It's uncomfortable to have this kind of talk because and I get that. But I also get this, that, you know, Christianity, I believe with every fiber of my being, is strong enough to withstand scrutiny, strong enough to stand up to the hard questions. And, you know, I believe that this is so important, we need to know where we are. We need to know. You need to know where you stand with all of these questions. You need to get it. You need to form your own conclusion. You need to form your own understanding, and you need to be able to say it. That's how important I think what we're about to do really is. Because we don't live in a bubble. We interact with the world. We live within the shadow of the nation's capital. The majority of you are working somewhere, some way with the government in some form, you know, whether it's directly or whether it's indirectly. We work with the world. What do you believe? That's where we are today. That's why we're doing it. So we're going to begin with this question. Why are there so many different religions in the world? You know, let me start this by saying, you know, from the very beginning of history, we human beings have had religious experiences. We've had religious questions. We have sought to worship someone greater than ourselves. You can find it in cave drawings. You can find, you know, hieroglyphics. You can find it in writings. You can find it in the legends that have been passed down from one to the next. To the next. People have sought to come to know, to love, and to worship God. You know, and this is wherever you are on the planet, whether you were in Africa or you were in Asia, whether you were in Europe or whether you were in the Americas somewhere, you know, we've had these experiences. And I can tell you even now, you know, for those of you who have ever had someone that you love die, Let me tell you, there is something within you, something that longs to believe and to know that there is something beyond this life. You long to know that. Your heart cries out for it. And if you've ever stood outside and stared up into the deepness and vastness of space, or stood and looked in awe at a beautiful landscape, there is something in you that cries out to praise the one who brought all of that about. And these are not isolated experiences. Listen to me. These are universal experiences. Universal experiences wherever you live on the planet. From the deepest jungles to the urban jungle. We all have these experiences of God. Now, be very honest, there are those who believe and have a statement saying that because of all these religions in the world, these multitude of religions prove that God does not exist, and that this whole understanding and idea of God is just some fairy tale made up by human beings. And they come to this conclusion by saying further that, you know, if there really was a God, he would have made the one true way known from the very beginning. And so everybody all through time would be saying the same thing, doing the same thing, worshiping the same way. But because we don't, this just proves there is no God. I disagree. In fact, I see the fact that there are a multitude of faiths. And listen to this, people from every continent, in every culture, all through history, completely independent from each other, before cell phones, before internet, before communication, all scattered across this planet, have had this heart's burning desire to worship one greater than they. I see that as proof positive that all across the planet, totally independent from one another, there are people that are coming to worship God as best they understand God in their mind and their culture. And further, I would say, why is it that it would surprise anybody that people, before any of these communication devices ever existed and scattered from every culture to every continent, why would it surprise anybody that somebody in Asia would explain and worship and experience God differently than someone in South America who would explain and worship and understand God from their culture? Why would it be so surprising that people scattered all about may have different experiences of God? You see, it just seems to me that all of this proves to me that of the real ultimate reality that God, in fact, does exist. In fact, our own scriptures explain that the mind of God is just unsearchable, that God is far beyond even our ability to comprehend Him. Check this out. Romans 11:33, God's wisdom and knowledge, God's riches, wisdom and knowledge are so deep that it is, what's that word? Impossible to explain His decision or to understand His ways. That's the writer to the Romans understood that way. Look at the next one. It says this. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Our knowledge is incomplete, and our ability to speak what God has revealed is incomplete, because right now, as we're trying to understand it, we see a blurred image in a mirror, meaning we just don't have the whole clear picture, Paul is saying. You see, we just can't comprehend the fullness of the mind of God. So it just makes sense to me that people from different cultures and different languages on different continents, independent from each other, would explain their experiences of God in differing ways. Now, having said that, it's important to understand that, you know, when I come to this whole conclusion and my thinking and all, I have to admit to you flat out that I am biased. I am a Christian pastor. I have given my heart, I've given my life, I've given my everything to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know that I know that I know that we have the ultimate reality of God in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe it. And so anything that I say comes through that lens. And so I want you to understand that I do my best to, even though I say that is the truth, I do my very best to be as open and as clear and as honest to you in everything that I present to you, so that you can understand your conclusion as we look at it through the lens of our own scripture. Okay, so we believe that we have the definitive revelation of God in Jesus Christ, and therefore every holy book, every prophet, historical place, every faith document, all of that is whatever faith is looked by Christians through the lens of Jesus Christ. Now, and Jesus said this, put it up. Let's read it. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Okay, my goodness, we have to do something with that. Now, he also said this, John 10:30. Read it together. I and the Father are, there you go. We've got to deal with that too. What is all of that about? You know, the reality is, folks, listen to me. For the past 2,000 years, we Christians have been trying to figure out what that means to the world and what that means to our lives. Now, let me give you a couple of statistics here that I think just kind of, they're not on your outline. I'm going to give it to you. You may want to jot them down in the margin, but we need to hear these statistics only to get this running start into this next piece of the message with how are we Christians to deal with people of different faiths? All right, let's go ahead and look at them. First one is this. Let me set the stage. 6 billion people in the world, okay? 6 billion, rough statistics, 6 billion people on the planet, all right? Now, 2 billion of them are Christians, 33%, right? All right, 1.3 billion of the world's population are Muslim, 22%. 900 million are Hindus, 15%. Then 360 million are Buddhists, 6%. And then 14 million are Jews, 0.2%. All right, that is the overwhelming population of the world right there. 6 billion people, 33% are Christians, 22% Muslims, and they go on from there. Now, let's compare that to what's happening within our own nation, because this is our world. You know, we live in the United States, and we tend to view things with American lenses. So let's look at this. In the U.S., 83%, according to the latest ABC poll, 83% of the country identifies as Christian, all right, in the United States. 83%. Identify themselves as Christians. All right, next statistic, 13% say we have no faith. 13% of our nation say we have no faith. Then, 2% of Americans are Jewish. 2% are Jewish. All right, somebody tell me, how much do I have left now? 2%. You know what that includes? Everybody else. Everybody of all the other faiths, every one of them, I'll just line them all up right there, 2%. So, you know, living in the United States really colors our understanding of the world, where you have what percent in the U.S. are Christian or identify that way? 83%. Okay, and now, what about the world? 33%. That's a big difference there, isn't it?